Hi, everybody. It's Submissives, and this is my AMA, and I've asked a special friend to help me go through the questions so that it is a little bit more interactive and entertaining. So I have So Sweet Like Anise with me. Hi, Anise.
Hey guys.
And I think we can just get started because I kind of have a lot of questions to go through. Thank you, by the way, everybody. This is going to be fun, I think. I hope.
So yeah, you definitely do have quite a bit. That's a lot more than I had, actually, I think, which I thought that was still a lot. So our first set of questions is from Penny for your top bod. Number one, what is a time when you were overwhelmingly aroused but could do nothing about it?
I like this question. I was thinking about it, and it's kind of hard to answer because that's kind of me like all the freaking time.
Just gonna say that, like.
Yeah, but I feel like Penny would probably like a more specific answer than that. So I was thinking, like I do a lot of messaging with people while I'm at work. And that can certainly get me riled up. And the other time that happens a lot is so I have like two young children in my house, and so obviously that is, being around them is not an appropriate time to be super
No,
aroused.
definitely even less than work.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it happens depending on, people that I'm talking with, or, it's usually my phone that gets me into trouble, and Reddit. So, I would say those are the two things I can think of when I am usually aroused and can't do anything about it.
Solid answer. So number two. Most memorable sexual experience.
And we're starting off this AMA with the really tough questions.
Getting right at the heart of the matter.
Yeah. So this is actually like a really easy one for me. I would say that my most memorable sexual experience is the first time that I ever had sex without a condom. I think if you listen to my audios, you can probably guess why. And so I was actually like a very good girl, and I didn't do that until I was married. And so it's a very like explicit memory in my mind, and it was like a very conscious decision, and it like
So you had regular partners before you were married, and you still never did it with them like that, even if they were like someone you've been with for a minute, or
Yep, that's right.
that is pretty responsible, and like that is still pretty a really responsible decision. So, I mean, honestly, let's be real, man. Like, there is a lot of like of bad things that can happen, even like basic sex, like. Kind of do, so I feel you on that.
Well, and I may have an impreg fantasy, but that is definitely not something that I actually wanted to have happen to me while I was young.
No.
So,
Let's see. All right, and now rounding it all back around, can you make snickerdoodle cookies, and will you send me some?
So, yes, I can definitely make snickerdoodle cookies. They are delicious. And I have sent cookies through the mail before, and I think
Have
Penny,
you?
yeah, I have, yeah. So I live kind of far away, a couple states away from my family, and I'm the primary baker in my family. So sometimes for Christmas, I'll like send cookies home and stuff like that.
It funny that you said primary baker, like you've got like a secondary and a tertiary, like a hierarchy of bakers.
Okay, I'm the only baker in my family. Tertiary baker.
Like, I just remind away with that.
So anyway, and I think Penny lives in Canada, if I remember correctly, so that's totally doable. I could totally mail you cookies. And then I think Myth of Bacon wanted some cookies too. I don't know where Bacon lives. And then I think, oh, do you know?
I was gonna make a joke and say it lives on my plate.
Perfect. And I think, Annis, did you ask for snickerdoodles too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. As a matter of fact, like, if you ever have leftover baked goods, you can just mail it to me. That's fine.
All right, we can work something up.
All right, let's see. All right, we got some more of the nitty gritties from Overnexus.
Oh, geez, right.
Overnexus always getting right at the heart of shit. Number one, you were at a sex club being fucked, and other strangers are fucking all around you. Are you more turned on by seeing them or by being seen by them? Elaborate.
I love the elaborate at the end.
He wants all the details. Uh-huh. He's all.
Okay. So I've never found myself in this situation in real life. So I have to kind of use my imagination. So I can't say for certain what would actually happen for real. But I think if I were to find myself surrounded by people that are having sex, that I would probably be more turned on by being seen. And I think that's just because, like, I'm not a super visual person, so I don't really like watching porn very much. I don't know, I prefer to, like, listen to things or just imagine things or do the things. I don't really like to watch, so I think I would rather be watched.
Visual things is kind of, like, limiting, because it's like, then I have to lock into watching it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you have to find a comfortable position to do this and watch and study and really, like, it's not a passive thing. Like, you can listen to an audio and just kind of lay back and relax.
Yeah. I think, for me, I don't like visual things because I tend to pick out all the little details of things that I don't like, or things that bother me, or weird things, and I just focus on those, you know.
We're visual, like, you know, so mm-hmm. that takes up most of your like brain function.
Right. So, if I ever found myself in an orgy, yeah, I'd rather be watched.
I think it's the same for me.
Really?
Yeah, like, because if I'm fucking, I don't want to be concentrating on other shit. Like,
right.
I don't want to focus on other people. Like, especially if there's that many. That seems, like, almost, like, too stimulating for me. Like, I feel like I might, like, literally, like, black out, like, from being stimulated, like, that much. Like, I've definitely got limits.
Yeah, I don't know. If there were a lot of people around, I might just want to close my eyes and listen and feel, you know?
That sounds awesome. Like, hearing other people around would just kind of add to the energy, I think.
Yeah, I think so. We could probably talk about this for the next hour if we let ourselves.
Yeah, I know. Let's get on to more fun stuff. Number two, from your perspective as a submissive, what excites you most about a dominant submissive encounter, be it real or imagined?
This was a good question, and I had to put some thought into it before answering, because, yeah, it's just kind of a tough one. But I would say that what excites me most about a DS encounter would be just not knowing what's going to happen. Like, being totally at the mercy of that person and whatever he has planned or whatever he wants to do. Just not having any control over what happens from that point on, you know, from like the agreed upon point on. And I think that's because that's not something that I like ever allow myself to indulge in real life. So the thought of doing that, like in a sexual encounter, is just one of the most decadent things I can possibly think of.
I feel you on that. I've never really gotten to explore that kind of stuff very much, like in real life. Mm-hmm. But I'm absolutely all about the whole, like, not really having, like, any control and, like, kind of just letting someone, like, do whatever the heck they want, basically.
Yes.
Well, it's characterized that way. They're just kind of able to do whatever they want within reason, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's the best part.
All right. Number three, simple and sweet to cap it. Do you sleep in the nude?
Inquiring minds want to know, huh? So, it is currently February, and so I can confidently tell you in February I do not sleep in the nude. It's fucking freezing. I would say that in the winter I don't, but in the summer I do. Not all the time, but like I would say I'm most inclined to do it when I have my favorite set of sheets on the bed, the ones that I just like to feel on my skin the most. Or like if I've been up to something earlier in the night and I just fall asleep naked, that happens sometimes. I don't mind when that happens.
That's a fair way to go about it.
Yeah.
The whole winter thing, that's a huge factor. Like, if it's cold as hell, there's no fucking way I'm sleeping naked. Like,
right.
And I generally don't even sleep naked in the summertime. Like, I usually have jammies that I like to put on. But, like, sometimes.
Yeah, I think, like, it depends on how you're feeling, you know?
If I'm sleeping, like, in the past, like, if I've fallen asleep with a partner, I'm cool with sleeping naked.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, when it's just me, it's kind of, like, weird, almost. I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know, it's weird. Moving on to Frantic Tumble. And the first question is, what's the most complicated thing you've ever baked?
Yeah, so, this was kind of interesting to think about. So I think, in terms of, like, process, the most complicated thing I've ever baked is probably chocolate chip cheesecake. And I say that because, like, just in general, cheesecakes are very hard to do right. You know, you've got to have a water bath in there, and you've got to turn the oven off toward the end and leave the door open so it doesn't crack on top. And it's really hard to get it looking good. And then chocolate chip cheesecake is particularly challenging because you got to get the chocolate chips to kind of all settle throughout the cheesecake rather than just sinking to the bottom. And I've never actually successfully done that. So I've tried every tip there is out there. You know, you dust them in flour first, or you add them late. And I've never been able to get them to be perfectly scattered throughout the cheesecake. So that's my white whale, right? Like, it pisses me off. And one of these days I'm going to make the perfect chocolate chip cheesecake. But it eludes me,
like,
for now.
Arch nemesis.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just imagining you on, like, a TV show, like, Submissives versus Chocolate Chip Cheesecake. Who will come out on top?
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, pretty much. But then, so that's in terms of process. And then in terms of design, I was thinking about it from that perspective too, and I've been trying to learn how to decorate cookies with royal icing. And so if people don't know who that is, I think, a lot of cookies that people make at home, if they make sugar cookies, they decorate with buttercream frosting. That's the kind that you can just spread on with a knife. But royal icing is like the kind, how if you go to like a professional bakery and you get a sugar cookie from there, how that cookie just looks perfect. It's all glossy and it looks beautiful. That's royal icing, and that's the kind of icing that you make really thin, and then you outline the cookie, and then you pour the icing in the middle, and it just all kinds it kind of settles and makes this gorgeously flat, glossy surface. So I'm still learning how to do that, and so it's hard. I'm not real good at outlining cookies so that they look real nice. I have to get better at that. And then usually I get air bubbles in my royal icing, and so I have to get better about pouring it properly. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to do much practicing with that because of the small children in my house that I have mentioned. So I would say in terms of design, royal icing is also kind of complicated.
Learned a lot about cooking just now.
That was a super detailed and boring answer for anybody who doesn't care about baking, but
There's a lot of people who probably want to get some insight on baking. I absolutely thought it was pretty informative, and I could always step my baking game up a little bit.
No. Well, thank you.
All right. Can you do any impressions? Any silly voices? Can you demonstrate how high or how low you can make your speaking voice go?
So, I cannot do any impressions. That's just not my forte at all. I can do silly voices because I read to my kids a lot, but I don't really want to demonstrate that. I suppose I can demonstrate how high or how low I can make my speaking voice go. It's going to be embarrassing, but it is an AMA, right?
I mean, yeah.
So, okay. So I'll do low first. And I'll probably have to work my way down there, but I think I can talk like this is as low as I can go. That sounded really ridiculous. Okay. And then how high I can make my speaking voice go. I mean, oh, this is one I don't want to do. So, I mean, I can talk pretty high, but I don't know why I would do that. So I'm gonna stop now. Oh.
That wasn't that bad. I can't really do much in terms of that stuff either, but I have a flawless impression of Barack Obama
You
that I
do?
can pretty
Oh,
much do.
okay. Can you please do it? Please, please, please.
Let me tell you something, submissives. That was an absolutely informative bit of baking that I learned tonight, being a part of your AMA. I just thought that I'm honored. It was a privilege to be your co-host.
Oh my God, that is really, really good. You have the mannerisms down.
That's about the best I got in terms of impressions. I wanted to do a good Donald Trump, but I couldn't get it. But I've got a flawless
Yeah.
Obama.
Oh man. That was really good. I'm jealous. I can't do anybody.
That's about all I
Oh.
got, though. I can't really do anything other than that.
Very good. So there you go, frantic tumble. Nothing from me, but a good one from Annis.
I'll make up for whatever you're lacking. We got this. Let's see. you have a default outfit that you notice you always go back to? And if so, why?
So, I do not do fashion at all. Like, I could kind of care less. So I don't think I have like a single default outfit that I go to, but I do, like, if I go shopping and I find a sweater that I really like, I'll buy it in like 3 different colors, you know, and just wear that all the time. Or, you know, like a t-shirt or whatever. I tend to like just solid colors, and I like to wear accessories with them to kind of jazz them up a little bit. So like scarves or necklaces or things like that. So I guess my default is kind of just, yeah, like general solid color tops, and probably I can wear jeans to work now, so I wear jeans kind of a lot. But before that, it would be like a solid color top with black dress pants. Probably be my default.
That's pretty good. I mean, I think a basic, like, form for your outfit allows for so much more customization. You know, you mentioned with the whole, like, wearing scarves thing. Like, mm-hmm. If you wear basic stuff, then, like, you have so much more room to add, like, little things like that, and it doesn't seem like too much.
Yeah, and I also like to layer a lot, so, you know, having a solid, like a cami or a tank on underneath it, then it allows you to layer and accessorize, and yeah, so.
Makes sense to me. Alright, we're moving on to the next set by Sparkle Extreme. So by the way, Sparkle, if you're listening, I love you. First question, what is the best gift you've ever given? What is the best gift you've ever received?
I liked this one, and I had to think about it for a while. So I think the best gift that I've ever given, probably about 5 years ago now, there was this trend online of people retaking their old childhood photos, like doing the same poses in the same place, just with them as adults. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know Bill Gates did that for his AMA, actually.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did that for his AMA. It was awesome.
I missed that. Well, anyway, my siblings and I did that, did a whole series of those, and kind of went really out, and like there was a picture of us with like spaghetti all over our faces, and we recreated that one, things like that. And we got them developed and gave them to both of our parents for Christmas that year, and like framed some of them and stuff, put them in a collage. It was really funny. And I think that is the best gift I've ever given, just because, like, you know, my parents, they don't go on the internet, so they didn't know that was like a thing. So they were just, like, so completely surprised, and they thought it was really funny, and I felt like it was something creative, and I'm not the most creative person, so it was really fun to, like, actually make a present rather than just go and buy something.
That's awesome.
So I think that's the best one I've ever given. The best one I received, and so some of my AMA answers are going to be just a little bit vague, because I don't like to give away, like, super identifiable information. So this one is kind of one of the ones that's a little vague. But so I lost something kind of tragically. Like, I lost a belonging. And then a couple years after I lost that thing, my sister kind of surprise replaced it for me 1 year for my birthday, I think it was. And it wasn't an expensive thing. It was just a sentimental thing. And she found something that was like almost the exact same item. And I think I cried for like 4 days straight after getting that gift. It was just like, it was a surprise, and it was like just such a huge gesture and such a nice thing to do. I can't think too hard about it or I'll cry while I'm talking to you. So maybe that's the best gift I've ever received.
What is your favorite recipe?
My favorite recipe. Okay. I make the best chocolate cake that I've ever tasted. I don't usually brag about things, but I will brag about chocolate cake. It's fucking awesome.
That's worth bragging
about. So I would say that. I also have like a variation on just your traditional chocolate chip cookie that I think is really good. And like I bring those into work a lot and people rave about them. So I'm proud of that one.
When you say variation,
Yeah, so they're cinnamon chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't tell that that's what they're going to be, you know, if they're just sitting on a plate somewhere. And I think that's what gets people, because they're like, this is, like, amazing.
Happy little surprise. I got it.
Yeah.
All right. And the last one, what has been your favorite travel destination?
So, I would say this is like really specific, but the my most favorite place that I've ever been, is I've been to Giverny in France, and that's a small town, about an hour or so outside of Paris. And it's where Monet's water lily garden is.
Oh.
He has like a, you know, a house and just like these beautiful flower gardens. And then if you go all the way to the back of the property, there's like a lake with the water lilies. And I had read the time that I was there, I had read a travel tip online that you should go and get there when it opens and immediately walk to the back, to the to the water lily gardens before you tour anything else on the grounds. And so that's what we did. Like, we got there, paid for the tickets, and basically ran back to the water lily gardens. But it was, oh, it was the best tip I've ever received, because we were there by ourselves for a good like 15 minutes before anyone else even wandered back there. And it's just the coolest thing. Like, you can see why he was inspired to paint those, because it's just gorgeous. And it was so quiet and just serene and awesome. So I think that is probably my favorite destination that I've ever been to.
That's exciting. I've not really traveled far. I live on the East Coast, and the farthest I've been from home is New Orleans.
Okay.
And I would say that New Orleans was probably my favorite place to travel, because, like, I learned so much about the culture of the place. Mm-hmm. And, like, I saw a concert and, like, a live showing, like, all in the same week, and ended up learning a lot about other cultures, because, like, the hostel I was staying at, like, there were people from all over the world staying at this place. Mm-hmm. So, like, I met, like, an Australian person. There was, like, someone, like, people from the UK. There was, like, someone from Colombia. There was someone from El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
There was someone from South Korea. Like, it's pretty fucking dope.
Yeah, just getting to meet all those different people and learn a little bit about their home countries. That would be really cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Everyone was really friendly, too. Except for when it started raining, that sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Moving on before I get too down and thinking about that shit. That was not fun. Next set of questions are from Stray Kitten. I think it's Stray. Pretty sure it's Stray.
I think so.
Stray, don't fight me in real life. what would you consider to be your signature flavor? This would be the one flavor you could taste dozens of times and not get entirely sick of it.
Yeah, this is the easiest question ever. It's chocolate. I could eat chocolate forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and never get tired of it.
I could put myself the same boat. I think my favorite flavor is licorice or coffee. I cannot get tired of licorice or coffee.
Yeah, the licorice thing does not surprise me, Yannis.
I know, actually, I was just about to order some straight out of friggin' Finland, like, recently.
Licorice from Finland?
Yeah, licorice. Like, I know somebody from Finland, or they're from Finland, but they live in Sweden. And they mentioned this, like, raspberry-filled licorice that looked so amazing. And then I'm like, I want that in my mouth. I need it to have it.
Okay.
And licorice is a huge thing over in Europe. So, like, knowing people in Europe means I have an inside scoop as to what's good.
Oh, boy. Lucky you.
Yeah, no, it helps. GWA has opened up my world a lot. I know people from all over Europe.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking awesome.
Do you ever...
all my European friends.
Do you ever find yourself talking about them, like, to other people? Like, I was talking to someone today, and I was like, oh, yeah, I have a couple of friends in the UK, and blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, I'm talking about people from GWA. I wonder if the person I'm speaking to in real life has, like, any idea.
No. I have mentioned them to my friends, like, my roommates and, like, some other, like, choice people. You know, obviously I don't give away any, like, identifying information. Like, I just tell them, like, my friend is from here. That's basically all they know.
Uh-huh.
And I've mentioned this on, like, questionnaires and stuff I've done, but, like, my close friends know about GWA, and my roommates also know about GWA, but they don't know any actual, like, details.
Okay.
Like, because I have, like, when it comes down to it, I have no shame about people knowing about it, kind of. Like, I keep all my stuff on private just in case, but, like, for the most part, I have no, like, shame telling people that I'm on GWA. Like, as long as they don't know exactly what I'm doing. Because I put up some pretty questionable shit. So, yeah.
Oh, I would probably die if people in my real life knew. I mean, like, my husband knows, but that's it.
How do you find time to record and decompress, considering you have several young children? As my family's resident babysitter of two, I must know your secret.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I would say that the secret to getting free time, such as I have, is that I have a very strict bedtime for my kids. And that's really all there is to it. So, my youngest is in bed by 7:30 and my oldest is in bed by like 8:15, and, then the rest of the night is mine. So, and they know better. They don't get out of bed. They don't, apparently I'm a strict disciplinarian, which might be surprising to some of you. But yeah, so I have my evenings free. I mean, every night of the week. So that's how I find time to record. I do all my stuff between, like, 9 p.m. and midnight.
Good stuff. Good way. And related, if any of your children were to accidentally walk in on one of your recording sessions, how would you gloss over things?
Right. So, first of all, they're usually asleep when I do it, but I always lock the door to my room, so it's impossible for them to walk in. If they heard something, like, first of all, I feel like they're too young to understand what's happening, you know? Like, if I had teenagers, that would be different, because they'd be like, ew, gross, you know? But I think if my kids heard me, I could just kind of say, like, oh, you know, I was talking on the phone, or I was, like, singing or something, and they'd probably believe me. So Hopefully that'll never happen. It hasn't happened to me yet, and I've been doing this for 6 months now, so fingers crossed.
Next set of questions is from, I don't recognize this user, So Sweet Like Anise. Who the fuck is
Oh,
that
I
guy?
don't know. He's so weird.
Let's see. And apparently, his first question is, have you ever read while listening to TV and baking at the same time?
So I loved this question. And I thought about it, and the answer is yes, I definitely have. So if I'm baking cookies and they're in the oven, and usually, I have to get the next cookie sheet ready to go, but that only takes like 2 minutes. And then usually for a little while, I'm still kind of cleaning up the kitchen and stuff, but eventually towards the end of the batch of cookie dough, like they go in the oven and I get the next sheet ready, and then I just kind of have like 6 or 7 minutes to chill. So I'll go sit at the kitchen table and I'll read like either stuff on my phone or stuff on my Kindle or something like that. And then I'm usually listening to TV while I bake. So it's on in the living room. So technically I have done that.
The ultimate multitasking.
Yep.
Number two. All right, now that we're at this question, I can't deny it. This is me. I ask these questions. All right. And being the one who gets to actually ask you this is it makes this so much different than just hearing your answer. You did this by yourself. All right. Why did fate guide your amazing kinky self to GWA so I can listen to your sensuous voice? Inquiring anuses must know.
I love that you get to ask me this for real. And you're very sweet, by the okay, I'm blushing for sure. So to answer honestly, I don't know why I ended up here. I was on Reddit for almost 3 years before, and I knew that GWA existed, right? So I kind of lurked around all the sex subreddits and stuff like that. And so I would see people comment from time to time about Gone Wild Audio, and I kind of viewed it as like this major temptation, and I knew that if I ever went to that subreddit that I would never be able to leave. I would just be stuck there forever. And so I for a couple of years there I didn't click into it because I don't know. Apparently I was very disciplined, but I just kind of knew. But I can't say for sure what made me finally give in to temptation. I don't know. I know it was over the summer, so it could have been that I was just kind of. I get really bored during the summer. I think it's like a holdover from being a kid and not having anything to do during the summer. Even though, I'm not a kid anymore and I still work year round now, I just tend to get like bored and restless during the summer months. I think it's because it's like daylight for so long or something. I don't know. But I think I was probably just bored and I saw it, I saw someone mention it and I just kind of finally gave in. And I'm really happy that I did that.
Considering the question and all that, that is a very interesting story. But all I heard when you said it was, I just knew that there was going to be some really fabulously sexy bearded guy that loves pugs. I just knew he'd be there. And I was waiting. I was just waiting. I
You
knew he
were,
was going to finally
yeah,
show up.
you were drawing me in. Your beard was calling to me.
That's the narrative I'm sticking with. All right, number three. You've mentioned having issues with being impatient. How impatient were you before having kids kind of tempered that?
I guess I'm not sure how to quantify the amount of impatience that I have.
Well, I guess it'd be like, how would you compare how impatient you were before you had children, mm-hmm. which will obviously temper that quite a bit, as opposed to now that you have, like, three?
Yeah. So I would say that if my impatience has been tempered by kids, it's only a very minute amount. I am pretty damn impatient, but what having kids has done has just caused me to, like internalize all of that and not show it, you know? So I'm sitting there watching, you know, tell my kid to put her shoes on. And then she's sitting there for like 5 solid minutes messing around and not putting her shoes on, even though she knows how to do it. Like, that drives me insane, but I keep that shit to myself. So I don't know that I'm any less impatient now, but I've learned to hide it because I don't want to be that mom.
Still just as good. All right. Number 4, because I have to ask questions about booze. You can only ever have one kind of alcoholic drink for the rest of your life. What is it?
Mm-hmm. I've basically kind of already done that to myself. One of the weird things that being pregnant did to me is that I just slowly started cutting out a lot of things, a lot of alcohol from my life. Like, when I was pregnant for the first time, I came out of it hating white wine. And so I've just never really wanted white wine ever again. And I also have kind of completely lost interest in liquor. So I just... if I could only have one drink for the rest of my life, it would be red wine, and probably a Merlot, and I would be happy.
Fair answer. That's such a hard question for me.
Really?
Like, I'm like an equal opportunity booze lover. There is really almost no booze that I technically don't like. As long as it's quality, I pretty much can enjoy it. So that's kind of impossible for me to answer. I like all booze.
Okay.
Number 5. All right. And here's where the fun is.
Yeah.
I shamelessly stole this question. if you get hypnotized and knocked up by any celebrity, who might it be?
So when I asked you this question, did you feel weird answering it, or did you, like, instantly know who you were going to pick?
Oh, I knew.
You knew?
I absolutely knew. Natalie Portman was, like, such an easy question. That was such an easy answer to that question.
So this one was tough for me, because I'm not really, like, a celebrity person. I tend to think more about people I know when answering that question. And I'm obviously not going to be naming any names like that for Reddit. So I had to think about celebrities. So I picked two people because I'm a woman and I'm complicated. all right. So if we're talking looks alone, I would pick... and I've actually never said his name out loud. I hope I'm saying it right. I would pick Ian Somerhalder.
Don't know that celebrity.
Huh. Oh, you should Google him. He's hot. he's the guy from, I think most recently he's been in The Vampire Diaries, from what I understand. I don't watch that show. But he was in Lost.
Didn't see that either.
Okay. Yeah. He's just got these eyes, like, holy fuck, these gorgeous blue eyes. So looks alone, I'm going with Ian. If we're talking, like, total person considered, you know, and I should say too, I don't actually know anything about Ian Somerhalder or the next person I'm going to name. I just have seen them on TV and in movies. So I don't know, like, anything. They could be terrible people in real life. And if they were, then I would not want them to knock me up, just to be super clear. like if they're douchebags or something, I don't know. But if we're talking like total package of a person, I would pick James Spader. I kind of have like a giant crush on James Spader. Do you know who that one is?
I don't think I know that name either.
Huh. Right now he's in The Blacklist, that TV show, if you watch that.
I see that.
Probably the thing that started my crush on him. Oh, he was in The Office for a little while. He played like the CEO or something of Dunder Mifflin in The Office.
I can completely shamefully admit I've never watched The Office.
Really? Oh, wow.
Never.
And then I think probably the reason I have a crush on him is because he played the male lead in the film Secretary. So,
you keep naming all these things I don't know.
Really?
That's stupid.
No, you're not stupid. You just don't, I don't know, maybe you don't think about male celebrities in the same way that I do.
Well, I mean, I just don't watch a lot of, like, shows in general.
Mm-hmm.
I get, like, distracted too quickly. Well, for the people who know these guys, they'll probably be able to attest that you pick good picks. Okay, so now we've got a couple of questions from Lorekeeper Herm. If your life were a book, what would it be titled? What about the chapter you're in right now?
Yes. Okay. So, super serious answer. I think the title of my book would be something like, You Can Knock Me Down, But I Will Get Back Up Again. And I would say the chapter that I'm in right now, I feel like I'm in a big period of self-discovery. So I think my current life chapter would be something like becoming who I've always been meant to be or something like that. Becoming the real me or, you know, something like that.
That's an exciting part of the life.
It's fun.
Excellent. I think that's kind of where I'm at right now, too.
Yeah.
Besides GWA and its sister subreddits, which subreddit do you also like to scroll through?
Yeah, so I don't have a lot of free time. surprise. So I really, really just use Reddit for GWA now. Like, I don't really hardly ever go outside of GWA in the sister subreddits, but I do have a couple like favorited or whatever on my phone. So I would say the only other one I really ever very occasionally scroll through would be BDSM community. But I visit there like every couple of months or something like that. It's really just when I'm really bored and I've already looked through everything I can possibly read backstage and things like that. I'll turn to the BDSM subreddit. That's about it.
I mostly go on GWA and backstage and everything related. When I started on Reddit, I used to spend most of my time on art metal.
Not surprising.
Yeah. I don't go on there as much, but I do still go there. I used to go to R Pugs a lot, and I kind of revisited that. R Pathfinder for nerdy stuff. But not really a lot outside. Not really very much. I do also go to some other porn subreddits. Like GW couples, GW cum sluts, hot wife. There's a couple, like, kind of spread out my interests.
Okay. I always joke with my husband that, like, if I ever made a throwaway account, it would be so I could go to a normal subreddit. Because all that I use my real Reddit username for is like sex stuff. So if I ever wanted to post in like one of the mainstream subreddits, I'd have to have a throwaway for sure. Kind of the opposite of what people normally do.
Finally, how do you measure a year in the life?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I would say 524,600 minutes. I'm sorry. Wait, who is this? Is this Lorekeeper? Yeah, Lorekeeper Herm. I'm sorry, I don't have a serious answer for you. I would probably break into song, and Rent is one of my favorite musicals, so I could sing you that entire tune sometime if you like.
Fair enough. And speaking of song, this one's from Smart Liquor. What song is most likely to get you dancing like a complete fool?
Yeah. So, the only time I ever dance like a complete fool is probably at weddings. You know, open bar, and I tend to get pretty drunk at weddings. So my answers are like the stereotypical wedding songs that you always hear. So I will generally run out onto the dance floor the minute they start playing that song, Yeah, by Usher. That song was like on the radio and stuff the year that I turned 21. And so it's just like instantly linked with like partying and dancing and doing stupid things. So that comes on and I have to go dance to that. And then also like anything by Lady Gaga, just because she's awesome and fun. And then usually Bon Jovi, because they always tend to play Bon Jovi, you know, like Living on a Prayer. I will run out and dance to that too. I like to dance at weddings.
The song that almost completely gets me going no matter what is Dare by Gorillaz.
Oh, that song, I don't know if I know that one.
That song gets me going hard. Like, it doesn't matter like where I'm at. Like, I could probably be like in public. If I hear that song, like, I'm gonna start probably moving. Like, I love that song.
Okay. Oh, I didn't think about that. Like, songs that just make you dance, like, in the car and stuff. I guess if I'm thinking like that, Hey Ya by Outkast, I cannot sit still if Hey Ya comes on the radio.
Good pick. Let's see. Now, the next set by Captain Jericho, or I think CPT Jericho.
I think Captain, probably.
That's what I thought. Sub stuff. Where, who, and what is your credit card number?
So I'm gonna decline to answer the credit card number question.
Good choice.
So he gave, I think it's he, gave some examples. Says where. A lordly bed, harem slave brothel, dungeon, public stocks, or the gutter. And gave this one some thought. You know, my instinct is to kind of answer, like, wherever the fuck he wants. But if I have to pick from that list, I suppose I would choose either the harem slave brothel scenario or like the dungeon, depending on what kind of dungeon we're talking. Like, not a super dirty place, you know.
Not a place where people get put on racks, you know, more like fun dungeon.
Exactly. Okay, so that's where. For who, Captain Jericho says the king, a mean lord, a conquering general, a pirate, or a blackmailing villain. I would say, like, so I like the thought of being stolen or kidnapped. So I think that's something that a conquering general or a pirate would do. So those are probably my two favorite picks from that list. But villain would also work, just depending on the type of villain. But yeah.
Picks. All right, here's one that's relevant to me from Saint Winterborne. You have only one option, only one choice. Cannot pick neither, and you must eat one. Black licorice with M&M's chocolate filling, or black licorice with Skittles filling.
Yes. I wonder if this question, as posed to me, is the reason I thought to ask you to do this AMA with me. It's like a subconscious thing. I don't know. This is a terrible question because both options sound awful.
Oh, you wish.
Know, you're not going to be my friend anymore. I cannot stand the taste of anise. The flavoring, not the person.
Oh, okay. I see that. I see how you made the distinction there.
I just,
So.
oh, I was listening to your AMA and you talking about all the anise flavored things. Like, you were saying you wanted to try ouzo, and oh my God, it's disgusting. Oh God.
You've had ouzo?
Oh yeah, I have.
I've heard mixed reviews. I've heard some people say it was awful. I've heard some people say it was dope. Like, I'm not sure where to lie on that, but I love anise, so.
You'd probably really like it. When I tried it, I was at a Greek food festival, and
That's where one of my friends had it at.
yeah, and I was just kind of handed a shot, you know, and they all do the oppa thing, and so like someone gave it to me, and I didn't stop to like ask what it was. Like I knew it was ouzo, but I didn't know what ouzo was, and I was just like, well, whatever, everybody's doing it, and it was just such a horrible surprise. Yeah. Anyway, so back to this question here. So if I can't pick neither, which was going to be my instant answer, I must eat one. I think I would pick the black licorice with Skittles filling. And that's just because I really, really like Skittles. And hopefully there's enough Skittles in this filling that it kind of overpowers the taste of the black licorice. I'm
I
hoping.
feel like it would complement it better.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're both,
Solid answer.
yeah. So that's, if I'm forced at gunpoint to pick one, that's the one I'll go
I'm just imagining me, like, you've gotta pick one, submissive. You've gotta pick one of
with.
these black licorice candies or it's over.
Oh, that's a hard limit, Anna.